Everybody turn with me to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. We got that fresh patch, that brand new year ahead of us, and there's just so much going on. Let's read this together. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father God, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your will being done in this service. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you that we're going to leave here energized and excited and ready to be about your business in this new year. And we're leaving the cares and concerns and fears and rejections and hurts and failures of our past behind. And we're moving forward in you and through you and for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody in the church, amen. So everybody, God bless you. Happy New Year's. I'm stoked to be with you guys today. Let's jump right into this. Philippians 3, verse 12. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Philippi, and he's incarcerated at the time, as you guys probably know. He's incarcerated. He's in house arrest right now. He can't visit these other churches that he helped establish, but he's sending out this letter of encouragement to the Philippian church. And listen to what he says right here. The first part of this verse, as a preacher, it really, really speaks to me. He says, not that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect. I love how he starts that verse off because, you know, like I said, as a preacher, one of the things that you want to convey to the people that you're ministering to and growing in relationship with is that, hey, folks, I don't think that I'm perfect. Paul doesn't think that he's perfect. Okay, we're growing in this together. And the Apostle Paul, you know, who is this mighty man of God, is making this point. I'm not perfect. But I am pretty good about doing some stuff. And this is what I've been working on. And he makes this statement a couple times. I'm not saying I got it all together, but this is so important to my Christian walk that I want to share with you Philippians over there that are going through a hard time, that this is what we need to do. And so here we are starting a brand new year. And these three scriptures just speak so much to me. And I know that there's so much food for us. And let's just unwrap this together. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Now, the Apostle Paul, he ain't saying he's anywhere near perfect. Remember, this is the same guy that said, he said this, I'm going to paraphrase, but he said, the things that I want to do or the things that I need to do, I don't do them. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Does that make sense to anybody? Has anybody felt like that as a Christian? The thing that I know I'm supposed to do, I ended up not doing. But the things I know I'm not supposed to be doing, guess what? I'd end up doing them sometimes. Apostle Paul said that. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the dude that wrote so much of the New Testament that turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. He said, you know what? The deal about me is I'm the chief. And he said, I'm the least of the apostles. You know, talking about the original 12 minus Judas Iscariot. So I'm the least of all those guys. Okay, now, and he goes on to say, the reason why I feel like I'm the least of all these cats, not just because I didn't spend 3 years plus with Jesus Christ, but he said, because of what happened in my past, man. You know, I am the least of all apostles because I used to round up apostles. I used to round up Christians. I used to persecute the church. A good day for me is when I got a hold of some Christians, dragged them out of their house and put them into prison. And they went through some puppet fake trial and they ended up getting stoned to death. That's what he did, man. He hated Christians. He said, I'm the least of all apostles. He had that hanging over his head. But see, look what he says here. Let's just move forward. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. This man right here is devoted to something. He says, I press on to make it my own. I'm giving this my all. See, the Apostle Paul, just as devoted or sincere or zealous that he was for being anti-Christian, He is so pro Jesus Christ now that he wants to make up all this lost time. And he says, I press on to make it my own. The picture that he's going to begin to unveil for us is a runner running the race. And I think the more I get into studying the Apostle Paul, the dude really dug sports. And you know, that was the world that he lived in right now, that he lived in as the Romans occupied all of Palestine and most of the known world in this area at the time. Sports was a big thing. And he was super, you can tell that he was super into sports. He uses that analogy a lot. And he's going to talk about running a race. He says that a lot, running the race. And he's pressing on. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Now, this is where I want to camp here for just a few minutes. We see the motivation in this man, okay? Remember his past, okay? And he says, because Christ Jesus has grabbed a hold of me, because Christ Jesus has made me his own, because Christ Jesus has brought me into the family of God, that's his motivation. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to be more like Christ. I want to grow in my relationship with Christ. I want to be the best Paul the Apostle that I can be. I want to be the best Christian I can be. Okay, he says, I'm moving forward. The Apostle Paul is in jail. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. And eventually, he is going to get his head cut off because he's a Christian in prison. And tomorrow is not promised to him. Any day, somebody could walk in and say, Caesar went ahead and he just decided he's going to cut your head off. He's done with it. See, the Apostle Paul, he was a Roman citizen, so crucifixion wasn't something that he had to worry about. Okay, he was going to have the privilege of a Roman execution, which would have been a lot more fast, but man, you got to get your head cut off. All right, but apparently, I mean, well, let's not dig into that so much. But fact of the matter is, the dude, Paul the Apostle, did not know how much time he had. And he said, I'm going to use the time that I have. However much I got, I'm going to use it for the glory of God. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, for the time I got left, however much time that is, 11 months, 6 months, no months, it doesn't matter. However long I got, I'm going to serve the Lord with everything that I have. Can I get a witness? Oh, man. Oh, let's try that again. It's New Year's, man. Let's start off on the right foot. Can I get a witness? Woo, there it ain't. Okay. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his. Paul the Apostle, his salvation, his deliverance means something big to him, you know? So let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It's on your monitor here. This is Paul as well. This is Paul talking about what has happened to him. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Is that for everybody? No, it can be for everybody. But this is talking about those people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And look around, Christian folks, we ain't perfect. We need to stop pretending we're perfect or acting like we're perfect because we ain't perfect. We've accepted a perfect gift. Can I get a witness? And Apostle Paul, he's like, man, I was evil. He's like, there's no other way to look at it. I was evil, man. I went into churches. I pulled out people. I went and knocked on people's doors, took the father out of the home, took the mother out of the home. And he had to deal with this. As he went around preaching in other places, he'd have to wonder, is that vacant seat? Do I have something to do with that? These kids without a parent, do I have something to do with that? Is that on my hands? But he said, I can't live back there, man. I got to push that away. Amen. Can I get a witness? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay, as Christians, we accept that precious gift. And that's not really the amazing part. The amazing part is that there's a gift off. You know, the amazing part is that God in his love accepts us. You know what I mean? But for God so loved the world, he loves us so much. He sent his son. So once I accept Christ, his Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside me. I'm sealed. I now belong to God. Well, does that mean that I ain't going to want to say a bad word every now and again when my old lady's mean to me? No, I don't mean that. That's something you got to work on. We go from salvation. Okay, I accepted Christ. Now I'm in sanctification. You know what I mean? God's working on me. He's maturing me. He's setting me aside to be holy because he is holy. It's a lifelong process. You know, I still struggle with a lot of the things that I used to struggle with before I was a Christian. Now, before you get ready and walk out, man, you know, I have to decide, you know, man, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get into that because that's a hole. That's a trap for me. You know what I mean? The good Lord can take those temptations away. The good Lord can take the taste of alcohol away from you upon salvation. He doesn't always do that, you know, but it's a daily thing of picking up your cross saying, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, I'm done with that. Anyways, moving forward, I hope it didn't freak anybody out. But or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your, this is what I wanted to get to, okay? You are not your own. Oh, man, I don't like to hear that kind of talk. I don't like that kind of, you're not your own. But when God says it, Rob, when God says it, that's a whole different ball of wax, isn't it? Yeah, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. Well, what is that price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom you have from God, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So the sentiment here is he's saying, live like a Christian. Live like you belong to the Lord. And that's certainly a process. But the Apostle Paul says, Christ Jesus made me his own. I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. Okay, the blood of Jesus Christ was spilled out so my sins can be forgiven. My wickedness, the Apostle Paul said, he was saying, my wickedness, all the evil things I've done was placed on Jesus on that cross, and his righteousness was given to me. So there we are. That's his motivation. That's his motivation. And that really needs to be our motivation as well. Amen. Can I get a witness? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone's saved, if anybody's a Christian, if anybody's asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, if anyone is in Christ, see, Christ is in the Father, and we are in Christ once we accept him, okay? That's a precious thing. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He's talking to the Corinthians church, and those guys were a little nutty. The Corinthians, they had some crazy things going on, but the Apostle Paul says, When you become a Christian, you're a new creation. You're actually part of something that never existed beforehand. You're not just the son of Bernice and Bill Baxter. You are now part of the family of the Most High God, Bill and Bernice Baxter. All guys peeping them. Bill. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What does that mean to me? What's that got to do with the price of tea in China? The new has come. Well, let's look at it like this way. Okay, I was a dead man walking. I wasn't a bad dude. I was all right. You know, people liked me, whatever. You know, whatever you can say about it. Okay, so here's the deal. We were on our way to hell no matter how you look at it. Because we didn't have that precious gift of salvation, we didn't accept Jesus Christ. But see, I've become a new creation in Christ. What I'm trying to say is, and what the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm forgiven, man. I'm forgiven of my sins. I have been set free. And maybe that doesn't mean a lot to some of us, but you know, that should, because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short. We've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. Yeah. It's like when you go to the fair and you try and sneak the little kid on the ride, and the dude, bless his heart, he's like, what, sir? What? He's like, and he's pointing to that little ruler thing. You know, where there's a pirate holding his hand, that little statue or something. He's like, your kid's got to be this tall to get on the ride, man. And that's a standard. You got to meet that standard or the ride's going to spin around and kick your fly out or whatever. He's like, no, you can't get on it. That's a standard. Well, the standard to get into heaven, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. The standard is perfection. The standard is Jesus Christ. And that ain't none of us. You know what I mean? That ain't none of us. But that's the beautiful thing. I'm a new creation in Christ. I've accepted Christ. My sins have been washed away. The Apostle Paul's making a big point. My past is my past. There ain't no erasing it. You know, it happened, but I'm not that person. You know, I'm not that person anymore. So I'm not going to let that holding me back. I'm not going to let that destroy my future. Like, he's like, I don't know how much time I got. I'm not going to live in the past. Sure, I'll think about the good stuff or whatever, but I'm not going to sit here, you know, biting my fingernails off, just distracted and disturbed and depressed and discouraged because of what happened to me or what I did to someone else or whatever, what I didn't think through or even my victories. I'm moving forward, man. More of God, less of me. Can I get a witness? All right. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. I really love this verse. I really love this verse. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So I'm a forgiven person now. I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And this is that beautiful, amazing, hard to explain mystery of salvation that God says, he says that you are my workmanship, or you are my work of art. You are my masterpiece. And that's how God sees us, Skip. That's how God sees us. He says that you're my work of art, you know, that you have become something special, that you are my masterpiece, and he's working on us, maturing us. But the point Paul the Apostle is making is you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Now act like it. So that's pretty convicting to me. You know what I mean? Let's not live in the Galatians 3:26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God or daughters of God, sons of God. It's talking about humanity, mankind, once you accept Christ. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Let's go to Galatians 3:26. The fact of the matter is, Paul the Apostle, you're not your own, man. Okay? You're not your own. You belong to something bigger than you could ever imagine. You are now in the most precious family in the universe. Okay, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That's his motivation right there. I belong to Christ. I was looking at eternal damnation, you know, but he made me his own. He grabbed a hold of me because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Think about that real fast before we go to the next verse. He has made me his own. It's not that we just don't belong, that we belong to him now, but it's the fact that he wants us, that he wants us, that he says, you know, I want to spend eternity with you. I want something way better for you than what you had planned for yourself. I want you to come along with me. Brothers, here he goes again, same thing. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own. But one thing I do, he's like, okay, not saying I'm perfect, Philippians, all right? But this is, I'm pretty good about this. I got this going on. And he had the Apostle Paul had an amazing heart for Christ. Remember, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. He was very sincere and devoted to doing the right thing. And he's like, hey, when in doubt, follow me if you don't know what to do. And he's saying, this is one thing I'm pretty stinking good at, okay? Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, if we think about the Apostle Paul's life, you know, his life before Christ, you can totally understand why he said, I can't really go back there a lot. I can't really dwell on that stuff. You know? Matter of fact, look at Galatians 1 verse 13, and this isn't the only place he mentions this, but this will work for today. Galatians 1 and verse 13, this is Paul. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism. I keep saying the same word. You all right, man? I'm all right. Thanks for asking. Yeah, I'll have some water. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God. A lot of people persecuting the church of God. Paul, don't be so hard on yourself. How I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy. This was his life mission, man. Before he became Paul the Apostle, he was Saul of Tarsus. And he saw this as his mission to destroy this horrible offshoot of Judaism. This horrible thing where this prophet guy springs up and starts grabbing people away from his perfect religion and saying, turn the other cheek and all this amazing stuff, you know, it's like, man, okay, I gotta do this. No one else is gonna do it. Okay, I'm Saul of Tarsus. I am a Pharisee. I got the credentials. I got the know-how. I know the right people. I'm gonna start rounding up these Christians, and we're gonna get rid of them. That's what he did. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. Paul said, I got to leave that stuff behind. I got to leave my past behind. So here we are starting this new year, and we want to be like the Apostle Paul. We want to be like this guy that says, I am straying. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, and I want to give it my all to be the best person that I can be, the best Paul the Apostle I can be, the best Christ follower. Let's say that. Best Christ follower I can be in this new year. I want to be devoted to that. The picture he's giving is running a race, pressing down, straining. So in the old days, you guys heard this, I'm sure. So the judge of these races, man, everybody's seen Ben-Hur and all that stuff. Actually, young people. We're going to watch Ben-Hur next Sunday. No, we're not. We're not. We're not watching Ben-Hur. But anyway, so there'd be the judge. And as the racers would come around that last lap, man, okay, there would be the judge holding this wreath, I'm trying to explain it, man, a laurel wreath, okay, like you see the cats wearing in old Roman outfits or whatever. That was the prize. There was more along that went along with it, but that's what you'd get if you won the race, and then you get all these bennies, all these benefits. But, man, you'd see that dude, you'd come around the corner, and you see this cat holding up this laurel wreath. And, okay, if you wanted to win that race, and you did want to win it, man, you'd kick it into high gear. You'd give it every bit you had, man, to try and beat everybody else. That's the picture the Apostle Paul's saying, except he's in competition, not with everybody else. We're all running the same race. But he's saying, it's me, man. I want to make sure I'm not going to get distracted. I want to make sure I'm not going to trip and fall. You ever see them people trip and fall and start knocking people down? Because they start looking behind or grab a baton or something, and they drop the baton and there's like this huge pile up of people. Apostle Paul's like, dang me, man. I'm not getting distracted. I'm moving forward. I'm giving it all I got to be the best Christian I can be, to know more of God and less of me with the time I have, to be a blessing to those around me. Okay, can I get a witness? Isaiah 43 and verse 18, good verse. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Sometimes we can feel like, man, I've kind of read the Bible. I kind of did that. I went on a mission trip when I was 14. I don't think I need to spread the good Lord's word anymore. No, don't worry about that. That's good stuff, man. But as long as you got air in your lungs, okay, we need to be about our Father's business. You know what I mean? Don't let the victories of the past hold you back. Don't let the defeats, rejections, hurts, your failures hold you back either. We're moving forward. Okay, Proverbs 4, 25 and 26 right here. This is pretty good too. Put away from you crooked speech. And that's a great verse, but that's not the one I meant to send. But yeah, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk. That's not the one I meant to put, but I got Proverbs 4, 25 and 26, and it's my fault. I'm sure I sent the wrong thing in, but check this out. This is the verse we want. All God's people said, this is probably the right verse. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. It's like that laser focused, man. Maybe laser focus isn't the right word to say. You know what I mean? But I'm focused on the mission. What's the mission? To be more Christ-like than I was yesterday. To be more like God. Here I am in the new year. And we want to please our Father. We want to grow in relationship with the Lord. We want to plant these seeds. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Yesterday I was at this thing. I was at this shindig. And it was a family thing. My sister was having us all over for a feast. And there's a little kid, Brody, man. He's my nephew. And he's a cool little dude, man. But he's like, hey, Brody, what's going on, man? What Santa bring you for Christmas? And he didn't have time to talk to me, man. He was focused on something else. And I kept watching the dude going back and forth, pushing all the big people aside. He's looking, digging in drawers and stuff like that. He had his mind set on doing something. He'd walk back, mom's like, "Hey, Brody, what's going on, man? What's Santee bring you?" Wouldn't even acknowledge me. He's like, "Had something going on, man." Anyways, he was making a nail bomb. No, he's making a nail bomb. No, he was, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. He was getting a bunch of paper clips and making a beautiful gift to give to his family member. But that's the point I'm trying to make is dude didn't have time, man, to get sidetracked. He's like, "Okay, they're about to start giving away these gifts. I got to make this thing for my mama." You know, so he was finding all kinds of things and putting things together. He made this really cool thing. I'm not quite sure exactly what it was, but it was really cool. He was focused. And so that was kind of speaking to me. It's like, yeah, man, you know, that's how we need. Focused on the mission. Focused on what I got to do, man. Don't be sidetracked by the things of this world, because those things of this world, they sure shimmer and shine and glitter. And Satan knows that right carrot to wave right in front of your face. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Think ahead, man. A lot of the reasons why I make a bonehead mistake, or why I get into some sort of sin or something like that, is because I haven't prepared myself. I haven't said, you know, God, I'm not going to do, you know, scripture says right here, think ahead, prepare yourself, man. Stay in the word of God so you're not easy prey or easy pickings when something gets in your path that could distract you. Can I get a witness? Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. You know, we're not going to be perfect. Not here, not on this side of Jordan. You know that. You know, but God does give us everything we need as Christians to be and do what we need. First Peter says, "For God has given us," I'm paraphrasing, okay? But this is the meat and potatoes here, all right? "He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness." So God will give me what I need to live the life I need and to be the Christian person I need to be. And I can do all things through Christ. Moving forward, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. I forget it. I leave it the past, man. So when Satan brings up your past, man, you know, rebuke that nonsense. rebuke that nonsense. Push that junk away. And then fill your mind with what God says about you. You know, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Yeah, he is faithful. Think about his love and his goodness. And listen, we can't be everything we're supposed to be all on our own. Paul the Apostle is determined to be what he can be for Christ Jesus, but he knows himself. He can't do it on his own. That's why he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He knows that through the Holy Spirit that indwells the hearts of every believer, you know, I can say no to this. I can say yes to this. Can I get a witness? All right, tell the truth. Tell the truth, shame the devil. But press on toward the goal, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal. Look at these three verses, man. He says, I press on twice. He says, straining ahead one time. In three verses, he's talking about, man, I'm devoted, man. I'm locked on to being what God wants me to be. I'm not going to be discouraged about what the doctor says. I'm not going to be discouraged about what the landlord says. I'm not going to be discouraged about what the boss man says. Okay, I'm not going to be distracted by those things. I got something to do, and I'm going to do it. Can I get a witness? I press on toward the goal for the prize. See, he's talking about this race thing. Like, man, there's something waiting for me at the end of this. Bigger and better than I ever can imagine, man. And I'm going to live my life like that with the amount of time I got, whatever. I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to be here 40 years, 50 years, 10 years, no years, dollar bills. It don't matter, man. I'm going to give it all I got. All right. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So look, man. The Apostle Paul, we know he finishes strong. He's going to write to Tim, his protege. He's going to say, I fought a good fight. I ran the race. What are you talking about? I finished my course. I did it, man. I did what I was supposed to. There's a lot of folks like that in Scripture. But what comes to mind is this dude, Solomon. Look at 1 Kings 11:4. This dude right here, King Solomon, King David's son. Remember, David killed the giant, great king in Israel, had this son, Solomon. And Solomon was so blessed by God. I mean, he was just extremely blessed by God. Scripture says that there is nobody like him. Nobody had the wisdom of Solomon. Nobody was rich as wealthy as Solomon. Here's this dude that was extremely, extremely blessed. This is what happens to him at the end of his life. 1 Kings 11:4. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away. Oh, dude, let me underline that, man. That's the kind of church I want to go to. It's not saying it's cool to have a bunch of wives, man. It talks about all kinds of stuff in Scripture. It's God's not giving it a nod, saying, go ahead, do that, buddy. This is Scripture is life, warts and all, man. It shows it all. Just like when it talks about slavery in Scripture, it ain't giving you permission to have slaves. That's just what was happening, man. Okay, so anywho, for when Solomon was old, his wives, matter of fact, anytime you ever see multiple wives in Scripture, there's always something pretty bad going on. Seriously, check it out, man. Anytime a dude's like, and his other wife, anytime, you know, it gets into that, it's like, oh, man, I should have thought that one through. For when Solomon was old, his wives, and he had a bunch. Man, this dude had a bunch of old ladies. He had a bunch of wives. He had a bunch of girlfriends. He had concubines. He had a bunch of old ladies. For when Solomon, so he couldn't have been that smart, huh? No, I'm playing. He was brilliant. He was brilliant. But he had a problem, man. As a matter of fact, his dad, David, if you look at David's life, David had the same problem, man. David really dug the ladies. You know, he couldn't just settle on one old lady. A bunch of old ladies, a bunch of women, a bunch of girlfriends. Whatever, man, you know what I'm talking about. I know it. And then, so David doesn't really deal with it, really. And then you see that problem getting bigger with his son. You know, and that's just a little side note. That's what happens in our life. You know, if we don't deal with something, we're going to pass that junk along. Anywho, Solomon was devoted to God, and God was so good to him. But as life went on, and maybe things got a little bit easier for him, like, you know, when he first became the king, he was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this on my own. God, I need your wisdom. But as things went on and he was surrounded by people that would do things for him, things got a little bit easier. Maybe he started slipping into the ways that he was not supposed to slip into. Like his daddy David, you know? It's like, okay, I kind of got this. I'm not staying up all night pulling out my hair thinking about how I'm going to do this now. And your mind gets to wandering a little bit. But never mind. Okay. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not, this is sad, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So over time, Solomon began to kind of drift away from his faithfulness to the Lord that had been so good to him. We're all capable of that. We all do, you know. But this is when we analyze ourselves and say, you know what? Maybe I do need to get back on the right track. Maybe I do need to get more devoted to what is truly important in my life. Can I get a witness? Amen. Colossians 3 and verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above. What? Hold the phone. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Don't be so devoted or so awestruck about what this world has to offer, because here's the deal, here's the skinny. This ain't our home, man. We're just passing through. So, you know, we get so bound up to what this world has to offer. And I'm not saying there's not good things, you know. I mean, there's nothing more precious. You know, you have your relationship with the Lord, but then, you know, you have your family and these special things. And I've been looking at that sort of stuff lately, like looking at these old pictures of my children when they were little and seeing the expressions on their faces when they were babies and stuff, things that have been long forgotten. because of the world and everything going on. And you see the beauty in something like that, that is not replaceable, you know? So it's not that we don't smell the roses. It's not that we're not for the wonderful things that God has blessed us with, even the trials that we go through. But he's saying, don't be bound by this world, man. We're passing through to something bigger and better. So act like it, live like it, like you're just passing through, and that you want to leave something behind. You want to leave something for that next generation. Planting seeds, man. You know, sowing to other people's lives. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Last verse, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Here's the Apostle Paul talking about racing again. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? Yeah, they all do. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you might obtain it. Run like you want to win it, man. You know, let's live our life like we want to win that prize. Like the runner coming around the corner sees the judge holding the laurel wreath, and he kicks in the last gear. He gives it all he has. He's in that last stretch, man, and he's not slowing down. He's going to give it all he has. And that's us, man. You know, we got a brand new year. Let's not start off slow. Let's not be like Solomon and not be devoted to God. Let's decide that I'm going to be more devoted than ever, that I'm going to focus on what is truly important, my relationship with God, my family. And I mean, you know what's important in your life. You know what is truly important in your life. That's what we need to focus on. That's what we need to be devoted on. The Apostle Paul saying, I want to know God. I want to know Christ. That's what I'm here for. I want to know more of Christ, and I want to leave all the rubbish behind me and grow in my relationship with the Lord and be a blessing to others and be the best Christian or Christ follower that I can be. Amen.